Time now, 9:06.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lycoboro Valley Coaches Show. Start things off, Dick Newman reporting and Paul Ramo as usual position at the control panel. Start off with a bunch of scores. Of course, the game you heard live last night down in Mineota. Mineota rolled over the Eagles 69-6. It was close, 14-6, just a couple plays into the second quarter, and then the floodgates opened up. Dawson Boyd shut out McRae 43-0. Lakeview over Canby 22-6. Yellow Medicine East won their first game over Medelia 30-12. Murray County Central all over Tracy Millery Belton 62-12. RTR over Bold 33-20. Springfield in overtime lose behind almost all game long, tied it up to send it into overtime and defeated New Ulm area 28-22 in overtime. New Ulm only had one win on the season at that point. Benson picked up another win, 39-16 over BBE. Ortonville lost 54-22 against Clearbrook Gondrick, Upsala Swanville area, USA, Waverly Winstead over New London Spicer 20-6. Minnewaska picked up a big one over Sauk Center 40-6. Annandale, number one ranked AAA team, or are they AA?
I believe they're 3A.
Okay. Over Rockford, 35-7. Eden Valley Watkins shut out KMS, 52-0. Two more. Morris area, Chicago, Alberta, in a slugfest over Litchfield, 38-36. And Dassel Cocado shut out Montevideo, 58-0. Well, that brings us up to our game last night. Tony Smith in the studio, and ran out of gas, and just a great team.
Yeah, they've got a little bit of everything. They've got size, they've got speed, they can come off the bench with kids, and they're well coached. And you know, going into the game, we knew that there was a lot of variables that needed to go our way, and time of possession offensively for us was going to be huge. Keep the ball out of their hands and be able to tackle and eliminate big plays on the defensive end. And you know, in that first quarter, they got the ball about midfield, and they were able to score four or five plays in. And then we got the ball, and I thought we had a nice first play from scrimmage, second play from scrimmage, I believe was no gain. And then we went out of the shotgun, and unfortunately there was miscommunication, and we ended up fumbling the snap, and they recovered it, and so they got the ball, and on a very short field, ended up scoring. And on the ensuing kickoff, Gavin Mortensen had a really nice return that set us up, and we took what did you say, about 8.5 minutes off the clock on a nice drive, yep. Able to run a little bit inside, a little bit off tackle, get outside. We completed a pass on that drive, and we were able to punch it in. And you know, we had Jace Deline back at fullback, and he just hits it at a little different speed than Gabe. Gabe's more of the bowling ball type, and Jace has a chance to hit a home run. So, you know, Jackson made some nice reads on the option. We were able to get ourselves in good scoring position, and the momentum. You know, I think on that we threw the ball on fourth down, to a nice pass from Jackson to Mort, and converted that. And then I believe there was a first down that just to start the second quarter, Jace ran I don't know, 8-10 yards, and he carried about two or three guys with him, and that really got us some momentum going into score there. And so then the score is 14-6. 2-point conversion didn't work out, and unfortunately, then on the next kickoff, they were able to return it for a touchdown. We had two or three guys there, and arm tackling in high school football doesn't usually bode very well, and especially against them. So then then it was 21-6, and at halftime it was 35-6. It was a situation there where we got to halftime and talked a little bit about that drive and had they changed anything defensively or how they're attacking us, and tried to reinstill that drive and the successes that we had there. Then in the second half we had a couple of turnovers, which then didn't help our cause any.
No, that's right. Turnovers controlled the game every time. Turnover, they scored after it. So yeah,
and that first drive, I thought the guys up front, we talk about Jackson makes some reads, Jace throwing the ball well, and Mortensen on a couple of runs. We did a nice job of blocking too with the guys up front. Talon at center, Gabe Lowry and Douglas Bruner at guards, and then Matthew Sherman and Elias Alonzo at the tackles, with Tanner Tilbury playing some tight end. So we did a nice job there on some blocks, and we were able to put some things together, and that was really encouraging. But like I said, unfortunately, then that kickoff kind of turned the tide back to their favor. Stat-wise, let me get this going here.
Paul and I remarked, their bench was right below us, so we could watch Coach Johnson. He was on that drive. He was really letting his defense know what the heck is going on.
No kidding.
And we mentioned the best offense would be your defense to stop them, and that's exactly what you did on that drive. So we'll be talking about that particular drive all the rest of the season, and possibly that's the only touchdown scored against them by a single A football team. So yeah, they've given up some scores to Eden Valley Watkins and another double A team, but not anybody else.
Yeah, we also talked about it after the game. Like, that's the consistency that we need to have and we need to play with, and it puts them on their heels. And we need to come out with that same idea. Yes, the defense is going to change a little bit, especially after you make a play like that or a series like that. But now we have to be able to make some adjustments too.
And we got to note that you're short on numbers. You got some injuries and that. But the kids that are out there are playing their hearts out.
Yeah, yep. There's a lot of kids going, well, both ways, all three ways when you factor in special teams.
Sure.
Offensively, we rushed the ball for 140 yards. Jace DeLean had 59 of them and a touchdown. He ended up kind of having a little bit of a thigh issue and didn't play much of the second half of the second quarter and most of the third quarter, or most of the second half. Adrian Speck stepped in then. And he had 51 yards. Gavin Mortensen had 37. And Jax Wells had 5. So, I thought we did the, ran the ball well against them offensively, especially that group. You'd like to get more. And when you become one dimensional against them and have to throw it, then they just eat you up with their front four, and then they can drop 7 and really make it tough to throw the ball. Throwing the ball, Jackson was 4 of 9 for 39 yards, and his longest one was 11 yards. Nicholas Hoffman, a freshman, stepped in. Gavin was injured there in the second half, and he had 2 receptions for 20 yards. Tanner Tilbury had a catch for 11, and Gavin Mortensen had 1 for 8 on that drive. Defensively, Gavin Mortensen had 3 tackles, Talon Kranz had 3 tackles, an assist, Nolan had two tackles. Gabe Lowry had four assists and two tackles. Matthew Sherman had a tackle. Douglas Bruner a tackle. Jax Wells had a tackle and an assist. Kaysen Heineke had an assist. Evan Schliemann had an assist. Max Young had an assist. Elias Alonzo had an assist. Nicholas Hoffman had a tackle. You know, obviously when you give up that number of points, we had quite a few on the kick return, but I thought we did a nice job in the kick return game. I mean, he was kicking it down to the 3, 4, 5 yard line in the air, and there was a couple of touchbacks in there. He was, and that's just a nice job when you got a kicker that can really flip the field like that. Instead of having to go 40 yards or 50 yards, now you got to go 80, and sometimes that can be a very daunting task.
Yeah. And actually turned out to be a nice night. They're down, kind of down in the hollow on that, so the wind really didn't show a factor at all. But referees hydrated both teams. The kids are hydrating themselves all week long and then playing hard. Don't cramp up.
Yeah, and that was shape. And that was one of the things we talked about during the week, was it was going to be warm, and it wasn't as warm as I anticipated. You're right. I was, as the sun set, I was more worried about the bugs than the heat, but that wasn't too bad either.
No.
But yeah, it was. They're just a really good football team with a lot of different weapons and a lot of different pieces to the puzzle, and that's why they're where they're at.
So, there will not be a JV game on Monday, but did you play this past Monday?
No, we did not. Okay. We actually divided up the crew that we have, and we scrimmaged. We watched film for, I don't know, about 45 minutes, and then we got out, stretched, and divided up teams. I had divided up teams on Sunday night, and we got out there, and we scrimmaged, and we ran basically a scrimmage for an hour. Okay. Running our plays and our defense, and just a way for some of those kids that maybe don't get as many reps on a Friday night or on this that didn't get reps for the JV game, got a chance to get in and play a little bit in a not in a game type setting, but more in a real live situation. And I'm thinking that's probably what's going to happen again this week. Yeah. On Monday. You know, Thursday we go to Canby. So it's a shorter week here. We're getting close to MEA, so we're Thursday night down in Canby. The junior high is finishing up this week with a game against McRae, and then their season will be over. Our fifth and sixth grade crew is down in Canby this morning, starting at 9 o'clock, I believe, or 10 o'clock, playing. In that league that Mineota and Marshall and Dawson and Canby, Lakeview, and now this is our first year in that league, so we're participating in that today.
Well, you talked about these young kids coming in, and that they're doing is getting good experience for when they're juniors and seniors, and you just got to keep them out and keep them interested and. They're playing hard. They're playing their hearts out. They really are.
Yeah, give them an experience that they can at least look back and say, you know what, I learned some things and I had a good time, wins and losses, whatever, right? And now this morning, we usually do this on Monday nights, but this morning we're out to the school from 10 to 11 for some flag football. Okay. For kindergarten through sixth grade. Okay. We have 80 kids signed up for that. So I don't know how many will be there this Saturday morning, but you know those Monday nights have been, it's been wall to wall or sideline to sideline with football players. So that's been fun to see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Thursday, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
Tony Smith on football. John Sherb's in the studio talking cross country after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Transition into fall with sizzling savings this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Kip has frozen choice beef brisket, just $5 per pound. Bungard's butter, $4 per pound. Perfect for stocking up for winter. The nights are getting cooler, so stock up and save at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday, 9 to 1, and they are closed Sunday and Monday.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Monica, you redid your store.
I sure did, Paul Rimmel. Come on in. The same dark chocolate sea salt caramels are there, and each room is full of color for fall fashions. Come on in and check out my new shoe room. My vacation room is full of vibrant colors, new jewelry, boots, shoes, accessories. Come on in and check me out.
Fall into fashions at Monica's Apparel and Accessories on
Chestnut Street. Open Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. And like me on Facebook.
Back here in the studio, talking cross country with John Sherb. And here a week ago, you were,
north,
200 miles away up in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Yep, we were close to Canada. We were getting close to Canada up there as far as we go north, but that's just the way it is. So, yeah, we got that border battle. It's been kind of a fun thing for the kids to go up. I know we always have conflicts with it, but it's still, I like the way the kids competed up there, and it's tough. There are some tough divisions up there, and it's good to see what we got, because, again, we see a lot of teams that we don't see all year, and it's just so nice to see that. And I think last I heard it was about 2,800 kids they had running up there. So that turns into a pretty good-sized race up there.
So they put a chip in their...
Nope, they have a chip in their bib. They're basically their number. They have the chip in there to get that. And that's nice. What's nice with that chip is you get your mile marker, your two-mile marker splits. I know my son came up, and he did a lot of the mile markers as backups just in case anything was missed. And it's nice that way. But actually, just with that many people going through, it's a big deal up there. So it was fun. It was fun to see what we had. So see what you can do. I know we had actually had one sixth grader come up, one of Eddie Felton's brother, David. They decided to come up a little earlier, so the little sixth grader ran, I think it was at 10:30, ran up there, ran a little mile and ran up there. And he finished 11th up there, which was really kind of nice to see him come up there and do that. I mean, we got a bunch of young fifth and sixth graders doing it. It's a long haul to go, and I don't want to take them with us. Just that he came up, parents came up a little early, so that was nice to see him. So that was kind of a little early taste for him. Sure. Seventh grade girls race, they ran a 3K race up there. And Chelsea Clark was our top runner. She was 42nd at 13:50, and there's 119 runners in their race. So it's a pretty good-sized race to finish where she did. Skyler Stock was right behind her at 43rd at 13:51. Also, that was her birthday also, so it's kind of a special day. Unfortunately, she didn't give us coaches cake, so she thinks we must need to do more running or something to give us the cake at all. So, but I've been giving her a hard time on that. But, no, it was good with her to have her birthday and run well up there. Then Ainsley Grunholz was 104th at 17:04. Landon Scullerud had 165 runners in there. He was 149th at 16:15. Eighth grade girls, top runner there was Cambry Larson. She was 55th, time of 14:44. Then we had Emerson Erdman at 75th at 16:04. Then Macy Clavin was 76th at 16:07. I think that was probably Macy's, one of her best races she's ran. She looked very good and really made a lot of real estate up the second half of the race to finish at 76. And there was 95 runners in their race. JV got to be kind of a zoo. JV was, they had to have two sessions of JV because they had that many kids running. They wanted to do it. So they had one session at 4 o'clock. Let's see, at 3 o'clock, then our session was at 3:30. Then he came back the first session of boys JV at 4 o'clock and the second session at 4:30. So that's how many kids they had. So, like I said, girls-wise, our top runner there was Alyssa Swinski. She finished in a 5K course at 24:42, 152nd place. Morgan Anderson was 162nd at 24:53. And then we had Quinn Larson. She was at 215th place at 29:46. And then Shea Botham was 211th at 26:02. So, again, I thought these girls ran really well, you know, because Morgan had, she was also one of the, she was the queen in Dawson, so she had to go down. She had stayed back for royalty with homecoming and then came up next day. So that's a lot of legs on them. And you know, same thing with our seniors. They did, a bunch of them did that, and that's tough, but they still came up and competed, and that's what you ask of these kids is, hey, try to balance your life a little bit. Try to give us what you can and do what you need to do. But said, you know, they ran well, and there's 330 runners in that race. So that's a pretty good-sized race to run in. JV boys, there was 426 runners in that race. Like I said, they broke it down. I think there was roughly probably 200 in each race. That's still a pretty good number of kids in there. Our top runner in there was Colton Heineke. He was 270th at 22:18. Aaron Will was right behind him at 279th at 22:19, and Eddie Felton was 359th at 24:04. Varsity girls. Really some tough teams up there. When you hear a couple of scores, you'll know how tough I'm talking about up there. But it was good to kind of see where we're at, and because the girls are coming along nicely. You know, we just got to clean some things up, and just we always seem to have one off on mark, but they still went after it. Bryn Gleggie looked really, really good in there. That's the first time she's broken 21 this year, but the weather was a little cool. We're starting to manage a little bit with that asthma, so that helped a little bit with her, and hopefully it keeps getting cooler. That's going to make it even better for her. She was 38th at 20:56. Chloe Gleggie was 52nd, 21:39. Laura Schreier was 86th at 22:33. Then we had Harper Grunholtz at 151st at 24:13. Tali Hurston was 143rd at 24 flat. Sadie Rosendahl was 180th at 25:04. And Micaiah Poost was 221st at 28:44. And Micaiah's another one that's, she is a homecoming queen. So she had that, everything going on there. Then coming up next morning, legs were shot when she came through. You could tell that she was on her feet a lot that night. And that's just the way it is. And that's, but again, they came up and they competed. I know I gave her parents a hard time. I asked her, did they put her in a glove compartment? Because she looked really, really stiff trying to run. You could just tell the legs weren't there. Team-wise, we finished 13th, and I'm happy with that. There was 29 complete teams up there, but I think there was 39 teams in the race. Top teams are very, very tough. Hillsboro won it with 56. Bowman at second at 69, and then Rugby at 145. A lot of North Dakota schools are tough. Bowman is on the boys' side. I don't know where they're at for numbers. The last I heard, I think they won like 13 of the last 15 state titles. That's how tough a field you're in there. And then we were 13th at 396. So, like I said, it was good to get into that wall of people and be pushed and be bumped a little bit. You know, you don't get any clear runs, and so that's the thing is you get worked at.
It's next to a golf course.
Right along the Red River. They've got a park. It's Lincoln Park that's up there, and there's a golf course next to it, but it's pretty much through a park area. They got loops set through there. You have to go over a couple loops twice, but again, it works with that many people, and it works well, and they don't have overlapping, which is so nice, and with that many kids, so it works really well.
Good.
The boys' varsity. There was 230 girls in the varsity girls race. In the varsity boys, they ran the 5K, same thing as the girls. 303 runners in there. Colin Rosendahl was our top runner. He was 57th at 18:22. Then we had Tanner Callis at 18:57 at 84th. Then we had Matthew Botham, 103rd at 19:16. Landon Kima is 134th at 19:39. He's also royalty in Dawson, so he's king there. So he had the same thing. So his legs, you know, you could tell with these kids, but just competing. Then Brody Nelson was 169th at 20:05. And then Kentaro Serraro was 211th at 20:56. We finished 14th up there. Again, it's such a deep field, and if you don't have anybody in that way up in that front side, it kind of takes a little beating, but Bowman won it with 35, and that's a tough score. Then Sauk Center is a very, very good team that's ranked in state. They were next at 139, and then Wadena was next at 167. So you know, again, good performance, a lot of good things up there. Like, you got to like the way the kids handle it. I thought they, you know, going up Friday night and getting supper up there, staying in Fargo, and then work from Fargo up to, they worked really well on the kids. And nice to see a lot of the parents came up there. That's a trip for any parent to come up. But I think Conover, myself, had bus ride back. I think we had six kids on the bus. So that's a good sign that a lot of kids came up with their parents, and the parents came to watch them. That's what you like to see. Then on Tuesday, we ran at Monty, which was good to kind of get to a little bit smaller meet. We've been to a lot of big meets, and so it kind of wears on you a little bit. It's nice to get something a little smaller, a little more open, but it's still a very tough field to run in. There's some good kids in there. 7th and 8th grade girls race, they ran 2,400-meter run. Cambria Lars, let's see, I'll get that back. I'll back that up. Chelsea Clark was our top runner. She was 9th at 11:26. Skylar Stock was 10th at 11:26. And then we had Cambria Larson at 13th at 11:30. Then we had Macy Clavin at 22nd at 13:01. Emerson Erdman was at 12:09, and she was 15th. And then we had Ainsley Grunholz at 16th at 11:58. And that was the best mile she got out, and that was nice. I told Ainsley, that was nice she got out. She was in the top 10 that first mile, and she's always been back a little bit. She actually went out and just see what she could do, and that's, you like to see the kids when they take that little challenge, and she did that nicely with that. Then Cora Nelson was 26th at 16:38. Score, I know they scored it. We've got enough to score. We were second. Benson's just got a really, really talented young crew coming up, and that's going to be interesting where they, how they mold throughout their next, you know, 5-6 years. But there's some talent coming over there, so we are second behind them. And the junior high boys, they ran the same thing, same distance, same course. Uriah Speck was third overall, 9:50, and that's his best finish he's had in a race. So he's coming on really nice. Landon Scullerud was 13th at 12:38. JV girls. Top runner was Morgan Anderson. She was first at 24:42. I believe that's her first ever cross-country victory. So you got to like the way she ran. And so you get that chance of winning a race, which is nice, too. Melissa Swinsky was right behind her in second at 24:56. Shea Bothan was fifth at 26:27. Quinn Larson was 14th at 29:18. JV boys. Aaron Will just had an outstanding race. The kid has really grown throughout the season, has really, you know, I'm thinking he put some miles in the summer. I asked his parents, how did they motivate him? Because, I mean, he 7th, 8th grade didn't really push himself as much. Now he's got driven, and they gave me some things. I said, it's just impressive the way he's running. He got his first ever cross-country victory. He's never won a race. He's usually been back there. He won it with a really good time at 20:32. And Eddie Felton was 14th at 23:43. Varsity girls, Bryn Glegge won it. That's, I believe, her first varsity ever cross-country win. So you got to like the way she got that one. She went 21:20, really got out and pushed a second part of the race, and that was good to see her to finish first. Chloe Glegge was 5th, 22:19. She had a little bit of some stomach issues there that kind of hampered her a little bit there, but she was able to gut through it and get into the finish 5th there. Laura Schraer was 9th at 22:50. And then we had Sadie Rosendahl was 15th at 23:51. Talia Hurston was 16th at 24:07. Harper Grunholz was 20th at 24:38. And Micaiah Pouce was 27th at 26:45. Scoring, there was only three complete teams, so it made it a lot tighter on the scoring. We won it, you know, straight up without, you know, the throwouts, but it was still close. We went with 36. Monty is really running well. They're coming up. They got a nice young mix coming up there. They were 40th, and then CMC was 44th and 44 points. So again, not many points separating, but there was only three complete teams. So they really had a lot, throw out those incomplete runners, so then it got really a little tighter. But head-to-head, we won our spots. We needed to win, so that was there. Boys, going there, you know, again, BKMS is a team that we've been kind of chasing a little bit here, trying to figure out. And Monty, so it's been some good feels there. We looked dead-legged on Tuesday. And that's, again, from Grand Forks on Saturday, travel, everything else. So we did not look as sharp, I thought, in the boys as the girls did. Top runner was Colin Rosendahl. He continues running really well as a ninth grader. He was 5th at 18:38. Then we had Landon Keeman was 10th at 19:13. Tanner Callis was 12th at 1934. Brody Nelson was 23rd at 2032. Matthew Botham was 28th at 2104. Kentaro Sorraro was 30th at 2125. And then Colden Heineke was 25th at 2037. So that was the first test for Colden to get on a varsity race, so we kind of have that. But if you start looking at some of these marks compared to Aaron's JV time, he fits in there really well. So they're going to start pushing each other around where someone maybe have to come off there. We're going to move, and that's what we need to have if we're going to make this stretch down. Scoring-wise, BKMS won it with 50. Monty was 58 in second. We were third at 75. Lakeview at 108. McCray is 114. CMC was at 130. And Bold was 146. So, you know, I thought we had really some great performance, and you have three kids first time ever winning races, so you kind of like to see that happen, and that's just kind of that growing process. So it was good. One other thing I'd like to mention, too, the Lakeview coach, unfortunately, her husband was killed in the car on that fire truck accident last Friday at homecoming. I know the Monty coach and I, we tagged along together. Shim and I went over to visitation Thursday night just to represent the team, and it's tough. I know Becky for many years now, and we've talked a little bit. She came to the meet on Tuesday and just talked a little briefly on some things. It's not a fun thing, and it's to lose your other half that young. I think he was 43, and it's kind of a freak accident. And we wish them the best of luck. I know our team has a lot of prayers going out to them and their family, and hopefully, again, They'll work well. I know, like I told Beck, I said the best thing of this whole thing is your kids that you're coaching will help you to get through this so much better. And I said, don't be afraid to take help. And that's so our condolences out to them, and hopefully they continue and get better as the season goes on.
Next week.
Next week we race Monday at Raymond. That's a late ad. It wasn't on our schedule because we had a hole in there, and I really didn't like sitting out for 2 weeks from Monty to the conference meet. So we'll race Monday over there. We ran the conference meet there last year, so it's in Raymond's kind of goofy way. You got to get it. You got to actually turn into town and then work your way out to the golf course. But if anybody's coming for that, yeah. I believe it's a 4:30 start over there. So it'll be good. There's actually a bunch of teams I know. Eden Valley Watkins is coming down. That's a haul for them. They couldn't find a meet at all this week, so they came down. So it'll be a good-sized meet over there with a lot of variety. So now it'll be kind of fun to do that and kind of start fine-tuning where some of these kids are at. So we'll do that Monday, then we're off the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Monday, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
That sounds good. Thanks.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Cross Country. Dr. Brant Hacker is in the studio. We'll be talking girls tennis after this.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. At Haugen Insurance Agency, we understand the unique challenges you face every day. With our many years of experience, we are able to assess your needs and match the right coverage with your operation, whether you're a small family farm or a large operation. Our dedicated team is here for you, providing support and expertise every step of the way. Protect your crops and your livelihood with confidence. Visit us on the web at HauganCropINS.com to learn more. Haugen Insurance Agency, a farmer's helping hand.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, October 3rd through Monday, October 6th in Theater 1. It's Gabby's Dollhouse, rated G, good family film. And in Theater 2, Demon Slayer, Infinity Castle, and that's rated R. Both show at 7 o'clock nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison. The award-winning Meander Art Crawl is a free self-guided tour of artist studios featuring over 40 local artists from the Upper Minnesota River Valley, from Granite Falls to Clinton. It's happening Friday, October 3rd, noon to 6, Saturday, October 4th, 9 to 6, and Sunday, October 5th, 9 to 4. You can visit artists in their own environment who celebrate a lifestyle that represents the small, handmade, personal, and local culture of the area. Complete information is available online at artsmeander.com. Brochures are also available in your local Chamber of Commerce offices and at many area businesses.
Back here at the studio talking girls tennis with Dr. Brant Hacker. Well, fire away there. You've got a lot to talk about.
Well, we've been busy the last couple of weeks, and yes. We didn't get a chance to visit last week, so I'll just try to give you a quick rundown here.
Sure.
So the week prior to this, we had three different matches. We hosted Benson. And on Monday, we ended up losing 6-1. We looked a little dead. We just weren't hitting real well. We didn't look like we had a lot of pep in our step. Benson beat us 6-1. We had about three or four matches there that could have gone our way, and we didn't get any of them to go our way. So that was kind of disappointing. I was, you know, I know we've got some tough competition in our conference, in our section, but, you know, Benson's kind of a middle of the road team, just like we are. Hoped we could have played them a little closer with the final score. We turned around and traveled over to YME, who's having a really good year. They've got a 10th grader playing one singles over there, Brianna Nelson. She's a great player. She hustles. She gets to everything. We were able to pull off a 4-3 win over at YME, which was great. The kids played really well. They've got a different court situation. They've got four up by the high school and two about three blocks away that a couple points had over there. So 3 and 4 singles were over there. But overall, we did a good job. We were behind in a few matches. We're able to kind of just right the ship, turn things around and get things going our way, changing a few things the way we're playing, cleaning things up. High school tennis is so much about, you know, just not making errors, right? Let your opponent do the work for you. Give them the ball back and let them make the mistake. And we did a good job changing that around a little bit. So at YME, we had our fourth singles, Greta Hacker, and then our 1, 2, and 3 doubles picked up wins for us. So that was very nice. And then on Thursday of that same week, we hosted Sauk Center, and we picked up a 5-2 win against Sauk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we did a nice job. And this time we went all across the four singles positions. That was Alexis Olsen at 1, Maya Virgie at 2, Reese Kuzman at 3, and Greta Hacker at 4 singles. And then our 1 doubles team, Molly Halverson and Cameron Olsen, have been doing a really nice job this year. They picked up a win for us in doubles. In the 2 doubles, the matches that we lost, it was a 7-5, 6-2 in 2 doubles with Brianna Borstad and Aiden Bond. You know, a close match. And then Riley Clark and Kenny McTie in 3 doubles lost a 3-setter. So again, I'm competitive even at the spots that we ended up dropping. So
okay.
The kids did a nice job, and that's just a quick run through of a couple weeks ago. So that got us all the way to this past week, really. And we ended up having a conference tournament last Saturday up in Alexandria. That's the 8 teams we head up there. Everybody plays in their own flight. So, you know, all the 1 singles players from conference play off against each other. So it's not really a team competition. It's an individual competition.
Right.
So we knew going in we were going to be in a tough spot. Waska, Minnewaska is in our section and in our conference, not our section. They're currently ranked 2nd in state behind Breck. Yeah.
And private school.
Yeah. The private schools still rule overall.
Yeah.
But Waska is really playing well. They're just solid all the way up and down the lineup. They've got kids that, you know, just very athletic, very smart players. And they beat us 7-0 in our regular matchup with them during the season. So we knew going into the conference tourney they're going to be kind of the favorites. But across the docket for us, we ended up, you know, we played the same position. So it was Alexis Olsen at 1 singles, Maya Virgie 2 singles, Reese Kuzman 3, and then Greta Hacker 4 singles. And of those places, 1 and 2 we didn't place. Our 3rd and 4th place singles players each got 5th place, which was nice. They ended up losing their first match, but then they won the next 2 to get that 5th place finish.
Yeah,
exactly. Consolation champs. So that was really nice. Molly Halverson and Cameron Olsen ended up taking 4th. So they won their first match and then ended up losing. They played for that 3rd place spot, ended up losing a close one there. Bree Borstad and Aiden Bond are 2 doubles players. We're doing well. They were also playing for consolation champ. And then literally about a game into that consolation match, Bree ended up turning her feet, kind of ended up going down. She's had a longstanding problem with a displaced knee. So she ends up with a dislocated kneecap on her right often.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they were done for the day. She was hurting, and unfortunately, I'm hoping we get her back this coming week. She hasn't been in practice until just yesterday. She tried to just taking it easy, seeing how it felt. Overall went pretty well. But Aiden and Bree on Saturday at least ended up in 6th spot because they had to forfeit that match. And then our 6th place team, Riley Clark and Kenny McTie, ended up losing they played for consolation champ as well, ended up losing that, ended up in 6th place.
Yeah. And this is West Central Conference.
So yes, correct. Yeah, it's West Central Conference. There's some good competition there. These are teams that have been around for a long time with tennis programs. And, you know, when I started, there used to be maybe a couple weak teams in the conference, but everybody's really stepped up their game. It's very competitive. YME, I got to give credit. Jeff Lallum is the coach over there. He has been in place maybe 4 or 5 years. He's doing a great job building a program. So where we used to think, hey, this is probably a spot we can win, they're tough. They're very competitive, and they're going to keep being that way as long as he's over there.
Right.
You know, and McCray also, Lindsay, it's Bramer's daughter from town here, actually. But Lindsay is the coach over there, does a nice job. She's got good, you know, a good number of kids out. So I know that the boys' tennis programs around the area are kind of struggling, but girls' tennis has really seen good numbers this year. You know, 30, Morris has 45 kids out, 7th through 12.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it's when you've got kids and you've got numbers, you know, you're just going to be more competitive overall. So it's good to see. And I think it helps everybody grow within the conference. So that brings us all the way to this coming Monday. That's the end of our regular season already.
Yeah. Wow.
I know it's wrapped up. We play a section this coming Monday. We ended up in the 8-team section. We ended up with the 6th seed. But we go down to Laverne and play. So the teams that are sitting right ahead of us is Laverne. We lost to them 4-3 in the second week of the season. I always try to be, I'm a little biased. I'm optimistic that we've improved more than them in the meantime. So I'm hoping we can, you know, bring the fight to them a little bit. I think it's a very winnable match for us. When we played them last time, there was about 3 matches that were tight and could have gone either way. We picked up one of those and they got 2 of them. So I'm hoping, you know, if we show up and we have a good match, I think we'll be very competitive with them.
So you have to win that first match?
Yeah, that's how it works. Like, it's Monday, it's win or go home. So if we don't pick up the win on Monday as a team, we are done already. That's it. That's the end of our season, really.
And if you do win?
If we do win, we end up heading down to Sioux Falls on Wednesday morning. We need to be on the court at 7:30. We play indoors at Match Point down there. So we'd be heading down the Tuesday before to do that.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm hoping we get to go down and do that. I think it's a great opportunity for the kids to play indoors. It's kind of exciting to do something different like that. And, you know, they've worked hard. They've played well. We've won some close ones and lost some close ones. So I think it's about a coin flip depending on how Monday goes.
Well, like I say about it, any activity or sport, you could compare the very first day of practice and look at it now.
Right,
Your team has improved or the individuals have improved, then they've done their job and you've done your job.
Well, and you know, it's kind of nice to have that conference tournament because you do get to replay, you know, you get some of those matchups again. And overall, I mean, literally every match that we played at the conference tournament, we improved on from where we played the teams earlier in the season. And that's really all you can ask, right? You know, the kids get out there. I know they give 100%. And you just hope, you know, that they have a good day on the court. You know, effort's always 100%. It doesn't mean things are always going to go your way, though. So,
okay. Well, thanks for the report. The best of luck on Monday, and we hope we can hear about Wednesday's results as well.
I'm hoping we get to talk about it next Saturday.
Okay, Dr. Brent Hacker on girls tennis,
volleyball,
and we'll be talking to Amber Lee on volleyball after this.
Dawson Boyd Arts Association presents an intimate listening room concert featuring musicians Nikki Lemire and Doyle Turner at Madison Mercantile in Madison on Saturday, October 4th at 7 p.m. Event sponsors are Beyond Joy Art and Pottery, Beyonder Art Crawl, and Pioneer PBS. Admission of this performance, $25 for adults, $5 for students. Tickets currently available online at DawsonBoydArtsPresents.org or at the door or by calling the box office at 320-312-2311.
Okay, welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coach Show. We're going to talk La Caprile Valley volleyball with head coach Amber Lee, who's on the road. And we'll have our Jalen Lee's report here in a little bit. Right, Amber?
Yep, I'm on the road to Crown College tonight. It's homecoming down there, so she plays today at noon.
All right. Well, there's our quick Jalen Lee report that we do every Saturday morning. All right, you had a busy week. Tell us about it.
Yep, we started off on Tuesday against CMCS. That was a tough one. That's one we just want to kind of put in the books and not talk about. We struggled all around the court, not a lot in the stat lines, and yeah. I'd like to just move on to Thursday and talk about the Ortonville game, which was much more competitive.
That's right. All right. If you have any stats there in front of you, go ahead.
Yep. For the CMCS game, Payne Sachs had 8 digs. Maya Swatsky had 4. Ashton Shelstead had 12. Maya Mortensen had 5. For kills, Maya Swatsky had 3, Abby Amlin had 2, Carson Whitnabel had 3, and Callie Kahn had 4. Assists, Maya Swatsky had 4, and Marley Ludvigsen had 6. That's it for that night.
Okay. And then you hosted Ortonville.
Yep,
the Ortonville Trojans. I did that broadcast on Tuesday up in Ortonville, Dawson Boyd in Ortonville. And Ortonville, the wins and losses might not be there, but they're a pretty good team.
Yeah, they have came a long way. As I know, they got a little help on their coaching staff this year from a CGB coach, so I think that is really benefiting them.
Yep, for sure. All right, tell us a little bit about it. It was Black Cancer Out night, and you had a youth girls night there, and there was a lot of people in the gym.
Yep, we did Black Out Cancer, and we sold cookies. We had them donated by Pace Place and Clement Electric, and all the monies raised for that went to Andrea Rademacher to help with her healing journey from her cancer. And we actually raised $440, so I thought that was really great.
Andrea was there on Thursday night, wasn't she?
She was. It was so nice to see her.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I had too many cookies, too. Those cookies from Peg's place were pretty good.
Yeah, they are. I've had a few myself.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the match with the Trojans.
We ended up losing in 4. All the sets were very competitive. Callie Kahn had a really nice night at the net. She had 11 kills and 5 blocks, and she also had an ace serve. And Maya Swatsky just really had a nice night all around. She had 2 ace serves. She had 2 blocks, solo blocks, and 11 digs. She had 7 kills, and she had 7 set assists. And, Marley did a really nice job about getting her set up on that right side where their blocks weren't quite as strong, so...
Right. Yeah, I thought Callie Kahn played an amazing match. She was really well, did well at the net.
Yep, she really controlled kind of the blocking and stuff for us on that side. Our outsides were kind of struggling, so, it's nice to see her come in and kind of carry that load there.
And I think your eighth grader in the back row there, Ashton Shelstead, wow, she had some amazing digs in the back row to keep the ball off the floor.
Yeah, she is doing an amazing job, and I keep reminding myself she's only 8th grade. And Maya Swatsky's only 9th grade, and Maya Mortensen's only 9th grade. We got a really young team, and Faith and Sophie in the front row, they're only in 10th grade, so.
Yeah,
she's just looking bright for volleyball.
That's right,
tomorrow.
They're getting some valuable varsity experience.
Yep, and that's what you need to do when you're starting to build a team, and you got to start young.
That's right. Anything else on the Ortonville match?
I can read through the rest of the stats if you want.
Go ahead.
All right. So, Dix Payne Sachs had 12. Maya Swatsky had 11. Ashton Shelstead had 19. Mayan Mortensen had 10. Blocks, Maya Swatsky had 2. Sophie Leah had 1. Carson Whitnabel had 1. Callie Kahn had 5. And Faith Meyer had 2. Ace serves, Maya Swatsky had 2. Callie Kahn had 1. And Maya Mortensen had 4. Kills, Maya Swatsky had 7, Ashton Shelstead had 1, Abby Amlin had 4, Callie Kahn had 11, Faith Meyer had 2, Carson Whitnabel had 1, and set assist, Marley Ludvigsen had 14, and Maya Swatsky had 7.
Okay, good. All right, and you guys headed down to Marshall last night for the Jimmy John's Classic.
Yep, we did.
You played a couple matches last night, and you're playing today as well, right?
Yep, we played 3 pool play games last night, and we only played 2 sets in each. We played Westbrook, Walnut Grove, Adrian Ellsworth, and then Monty, and we did end up dropping all 3 of those sets last night. So we played Dawson this morning at 9, and I know they took the first set, and they lost the second set. I'm not sure where they're at on the third one yet.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about next week, Amber.
Yep. Tuesday we are home versus McCray, and that is our parent and senior night, so that should be a fun night. Then Thursday we are home versus Dawson, and that seems to always bring a good crowd, and it's always a fun night to play the rivals.
That's right.
And then we finish out our season on October 14th. The next Tuesday is our last regular season game versus KMS at KMS.
Wow, and then section play already.
Yep, isn't that crazy?
It's nuts. It goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
All right, real good, Amber. And you're going to watch your daughter, Jalen, today. Where she's playing at?
playing down at Crown College against North Central.
Okay. Court this morning, Amber.
Yep, have a good night.
Yep. Amber Lee, head coach of the Lacapral Valley volleyball team, will take a break, and Dick will be back to wrap up the coach's show after this. Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS. Farmers Union Oil Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls, providing Senex premium diesel fuels, propane, oil, grease, and now DEF delivery. For any of your farm, business, or personal needs, please call 320-269-8861. That's 269-8861. Thank you, and we appreciate your business. That's Farmers Union Oil Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls.
Well, back here in the studio, another culture show in the books, and it was a good culture show. The coaches did a nice job. So, finish the show out with Dick Newman's Sick Jokes of the Week. My son likes elevators. My daughter likes escalators. They were raised differently. After my brother's wedding, he called me the worst best man he'd ever seen. I was speechless. And finally, once my wife asked me to get some chapstick, and I accidentally gave her a glue stick. She hasn't talked to me since. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning, and just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Could the hostages be coming home? I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. President Trump says his administration is very close to ending the war in Gaza and returning the final 48 hostages to their families in Israel. Hamas has partially agreed to a White House peace plan after the president warned the terror group it will face, quote, all hell if it did not accept the deal by 6 p.m. Sunday. Fox's Steve Harrigan is in Tel Aviv, Israel.
There are real signs that this President Trump plan is moving ahead. Members of Hamas leadership are on their way to Cairo, Egypt for talks. Those talks will focus on the release of those 48 hostages, the technical details of how that will happen. They'll also be talking about future governance of Gaza. That is, of course, a potential sticking point in this deal. Of the 48 hostages, 20 of them are expected to still be alive. Hamas has also agreed to a power handover, handing over power to other Palestinian groups. Now, the sticking